back to EuroLeague and Friends, and this is the first show of 2026. If you love EuroLeague basketball, if you love real conversation, if you love the culture around the basketball world, you're home. So let's go to Belgrade, Serbia. And here's my sister in Serbia, Aleksandar Radivojević. Alex, how is 2026 going for you?
Oh, Denise, perfect for now, since we have a lot of EuroLeague games in January and February as well.
Right.
So I think it's kind of a perfect beginning of the year for us.
I know. I can tell from your beautiful face that everything is going well.
Oh, thank you.
But let's go to Greece, to Athens. Kalimera, Vasiliki Karamouza.
Kalimera to you too, Denise Exo. Merhaba. How are you?
Merhaba canım. I'm good. You know, you watched the Greek Derby over there, and I was like envying. I was like, oh my God, how lucky she is. And it was a great one. It was a great one in every sense, and we will talk about it. But tell me, how are you?
I'm really well. As you know, us Greeks like to make an impression, and I think that was the best way to start the season. The year, for sure.
It's okay. The season, year. I mean, for me, season is the year, or the year is the season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But there's also, even if it's the winter, there's another season in Italy. It's a spring season. I think the summer is coming to Italy earlier than anywhere else. So let's go to Giulia Cicchine. Buongiorno, sorella mia.
Buongiorno, sorella mia, and all my other sisters coming from all of Europe. Well, actually, it's pretty cold here in Milan, so I don't know if the spring is really coming so good, but I know.
But Bologna, I think the spring is over there in Bologna.
Sort of. It depends. If you talk about the weather, no, because it was snowy last week. But yes, I think that they're totally on fire. So maybe, yes, spring, summer. That's the mood that they have, and that's the mood that I am going to have in this 2026. Maybe even for them, for the Italian team, it's going to be spring, summer. We'll see.
I agree. That's the reason why I call it spring, because we've seen what Virtus is doing. Incredible. We will talk, please, girls, and to our EuroLeague family audience, fasten your seatbelt, because now we have the hot topics of today's conversations. Let's start with the first one, the Greek Derby that everyone watched and go crazy. Surprise teams at the top. We all know who they are. Fenerbahce looking like champs. New signings, MVP talks, and legends in today's game. But the best one is our bold and your bold predictions. So let's go and start with the Greek Derby. Olympiakos won. They took their 10th straight win against Panathinaikos. Congratulations to Olympiakos. Can we clap for them, please?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know the anthem, but really, it was an outstanding performance by Sasha Vezenko, by the whole team, by the whole crew. And also, due to respect to Panathinaikos, they hustle until the end, but the winner is Olympiakos. So, Vasiliki Karamouza, before we start with you, I want to ask to my girls in Serbia and in Italy, girls, what do you think about that game?
What I think about Greek Derby is they maybe go over the Serbian Derby a little bit, or maybe in
Thank
that
you.
Part of the season. But yeah, the hype was real. The hype was pretty the same in Serbia for Serbian Derby as well as Greek Derby. And I know a lot of people that stayed at home that night just to watch the Greek Derby. So that means a lot. But since we speak about basketball in basketball terms, if you remember well, I predicted Olympiakos win, and I predicted Sasha Vezenko is gonna have a great game and great night, and it was like that. But the guy who also impressed me one more time in his career is, of course, Nikola Milutinov. So yeah, I'm glad to see him playing as he knows at his best, and it was kind of funny to see and to hear Ergin Ataman after the game speaking about his players and Sasha Vezenko as well. But I can only imagine how it was being there and feel that in the arena and to see it closer than we were.
I agree. And Julia, I mean, Ataman addressed two players. One was Dinos Mitoglou, and then the other one is Juancho Hernan Gomez. So what are your thoughts about that?
It's cool that you ask this to me, but
always, always.
Well, the thing that I wanted to say is that, first of all, I would like to have a ticket to go and see the Greek Derby because I've never seen one. And this is my question in 2026 to EuroLeague and to someone that can make my dream come true. I would like to go and see a Greek Derby. So please realize my dream. But the other thing that I wanted to say is that, as you mentioned before, and as Alex said, it was a very a team victory. If you go and look at the statistics, the Panathinaikos players, they all have very high PAR, but they didn't got the win. So this means that it's not just about one player or two or three players. It's about the team. And sometimes motivation does it for all. And I saw in the same day in the Italian derby, Virtus Bologna didn't have four important players. They didn't have it, but they still won the derby. So sometimes it's just about motivation. And regarding your question, maybe Panathinaikos didn't have that motivation that they found, unfortunately for us, against Virtus Bologna. But Olympiakos wanted and needed that win. I saw them the week earlier. I saw how Nicola Milutinov played the week earlier in Bologna. And it was nothing to deal with the Nicola Milutinov that we all know. So I think it's a matter of, you know, revenge, but not against Panathinaikos, but revenge from the way that they were playing. So I think that, as I said, motivation, do it for everything, for all. So that's the way, in my opinion, to describe the Greek Derby in this first 2026 edition.
I agree with you. And, you know, before the third episode, we were talking and we were giving our predictions, and I said, you know, I think Kendrick Nunn will shine in that game. He will score. Also, we mentioned about Sasha Vezenko, but I also had another name in my mind that I was expecting more, Evan Fournier. And he just slowed down a little bit, but I think he will be playing better than ever, that we will see it, because I think he wanted to score more and more. But the reason why I think you said the team play and then the team victory or the team performance, as we say, the team performance, as we take out the team performance from Panathinaikos, I think that's the reason why their defense was great on against Olympiakos. And I think some players couldn't show the real performance of themselves in that game. So I want to give the microphone to Vasiliki, because I think she knows more than we know, and she realized more than we did, because we were watching all from TV and she was over there. She looked, she witnessed, and she heard also the interview. So Vasiliki, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, as Julia said, Olympiakos had the bigger motive in that game. They made some bad losses and they needed to make up for that. And always the drive and the motive and the passion play a big part in domestic derbies. 10 straight wins for Olympiakos in EuroLeague against Panathinaikos, that's huge. Yeah, and you know, Ergin Ataman, apart from dissing his forwards, he said, "We have adopted a fear when we play against Olympiakos," and that's sort of scary when you think about it. But it's all in the mind, because as Julia said, when Panathinaikos wants to play well, they do. They did it against Virtus. When they are motivated, when they want to play the best defense, they can do it. I think that's a mindset.
Yeah, but I think it's not scary. I don't agree with you on that, because in EuroLeague, we have a star boy, a golden boy, whose name is Sasha Vezenko. And we know how he will perform on that stage. And especially if it's Oaka, he will put all of it, you know, 100%. And that's the reason I think why Ergin Ataman congratulated him. And with the PF, like with the power forwards, he was expecting more from his team. And I think that's the reason why he wanted to motivate his players. And then he was saying that, look at him, look at this guy, how he scores 24 points. So it's incredible. And why don't you do that in my team? That's the reason I think why he wanted to motivate two guys that I named Julia. And what do you think about Kendrick Nunn? I want to ask you that. He was playing incredible as well. So you were there and you watched him.
Yeah, he was incredible. And you know, when these type of players, the Sasha Vezenkos and the Kendrick Nunns of this world, they want to perform their best when they play against their biggest rival. So that's what Kendrick did. But unfortunately, he didn't have much support from his players. You know, a lot of them had the flu right after Christmas, and they slowed down a little bit. Some of them were injured. Slukas really? Was coming of an injury.
What happened with the flu? I mean, I read because there was this league game that got canceled. Can you tell us about that flu that I think 10 guys or 11 guys had?
Yeah, three staff members and eight players had the flu. Some of them need to get more treatment, went to the hospital, didn't practice. Wow. So that slowed them down a little bit. And, you know, when you play this type of physical game that you need to go up and down to the court for 30 minutes, it's too much.
Yeah, you're right.
But I love how Coach Ergin Ataman didn't use that
as an excuse,
as a reason to lose such a game. And also, I love how he's always super honest with, speaking about his players when they're playing very good or where they're not playing that good. I think that's a kind of a new thing or different thing in EuroLeague.
Julia, I will lead you talk about this because I think it's Ettore Messina class, no? What we're seeing from Ergin Ataman, because he always mentions that he's my idol, you know, I look up. So isn't it like that?
Well, yes, but I think there's a different way of talking about your own player, because I think it's no new thing, but when Ettore Messina was releasing a press conference when he was the coach of Olympia Milan, sometimes he was mentioning the players and it was mentioning the staff. But during his era in Milan, it was in EuroLeague in particular, not that successful era. But it's not obviously just his fault. It was a fault of so many things and so many things that happened. And, you know, EuroLeague season are difficult and, you know, it's not just a fault of just one person. And it's very tricky, this question, to me. Thank you so much, Denise. But that's the point. I think that they are two different leaders and they speak in very different way. Ergin Ataman is someone that do something into the court and then can, in press conference, nominate each player if they, as Alex said, if they play good and if they didn't. Ettore Messina is a different one. So I think that Ataman was mentioning Ettore being his, someone to look above in the way that he coaches and in the way he's right now, being a manager in a basketball team. But I don't think that he was referring to the way that he talks about players and it talks about staff. It's, you know, something different. But I can't be wrong. I'm saying
No. We're you're never wrong. No, we love sometimes we love your comments. No, we are all wrong sometimes. And but I'm also, I want to ask to our audience, to our people, let's say if you would be a coach, which coach you would look up for and which coach that you would think that he should be your idol and you would become like him, you know, in basketball world. So I'm going to ask this question to our audience. Plus, please also comment. Who's your favorite coach right now in EuroLeague? We want to read them, you know, we want to see them. Who's your favorite coach in this league? And since I'm talking with the social media thing, Vasiliki, TikTok went crazy. What happened over there? You went to VIP rooms and talked with Ataman's son. It was a great, I loved it. I was watching and I, you know, rewatched again. And also my brother downloaded TikTok for that derby.
Wow.
Really? Because I was like, do you see this? What's happening? So tell us what happened.
It was great. That's another way to approach the game that EuroLeague is taking this year with TikTok lives before and after the game. SBB is doing a great job, better and better after every derby. Shout out to them.
Shout out to SBB.
Yeah. And, you know, they have this cool vibe and they know how to talk to the audience that's on social media. Sometimes us girls are a little bit more strict because we go on TV and we do these interviews and we're more serious. But, you know, you need someone that knows how to handle this type of thing. And SBB are the right person to do it. But also MK, like, stole the show. He was like a little kid in a candy store. Like, he went crazy with the fans. He went crazy with the team, even though Panathinaikos lost. he was in the game against Virtus as well, so that make up for it a little bit. He was a guest from Panathinaikos, and you know, the kids love him. Everybody, we were doing the TikTok live and we were walking throughout the arena and kids were coming to him and say, hey, can we please take a photo, please, please. So that was very cool. I was with a celebrity.
You're our celebrity. You are a celebrity. MK yeah. was with the celebrity. But I like that jacket. How come yeah. he dresses up like that? It's
I don't beautiful. Know. Yeah.
Julia, did you see, because Julia is in Italy, so she knows better than we all do, the fashion, but wasn't it great? I want to see more stuff like that.
Would you wear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
But I would wear it with a different color, for sure.
Okay, okay.
Good to know. Good to know.
Something blue for your teams.
Oh, or white.
Something it's matching like white. Your nails.
Or something matching with my nails, the stars. I have all the teams on my hands. Oh, wait. I don't have Valencia color. Can we talk about Valencia? And we should. Tel Aviv?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, we should.
I should put that. Valencia color. Girls, Valencia. Okay, I think Julia should start this conversation. Valencia and Hapoel Tel Aviv. Were you expecting them to play like that in this level, high level?
Well, if you're mentioning Hapoel, yes, because Hapoel is the less newcomer from the all newcomer in the whole world. So yes, Hapoel was one that I didn't expect them to be at the top of the standing. But yes, if you see the roster, if you see the coach, it's undoubtedly that they should stay there. And I think that they will not go down because they are well coached. They have roster that know how to play in this league and they know how to go in the best shape in the best moment of the season. So, as I said, I was expecting Hapoel to be at that level. But I was never, and I would never expect Valencia to be so, so good. I was there. As you all know, I saw them. And it's amazing the way they play. And the thing that I love the most, it's the way that they produce talent. And you want to say something?
No. I was listening and I thought about Paris of 2024, 2025. You girls remember the 25 Paris in the playoffs or right before the playoffs, the way that they hustled, the way that they performed for the whole year. So I think it reminds me, Valencia this season reminds me of last year's Paris, no?
I don't know. If you look at the history, yes, because they came from the Euro Cup, so it's quite the same. But in my opinion, Valencia is one of the hottest team. It's one of the hottest story in the Liga ACB and in the whole Europe. So everyone know the value that Valencia has in the European basketball. Last year, I think that we were a little bit surprised by Paris because it was, you know, like a new reality, even if it's not that new. But everyone know Valencia. Everyone know that they can really work well. And I think that this year they show that all the work that they've done before, even if I was saying with the talent, with Alqueria, with everything that they're building now, today, 2025, 2026 is their season. I don't know how far they can go, but I think that they will. They will go up and up and they will never stop because this is Valencia and this is the rhythm and the flow that they got.
Girls, do you think, I'm asking to you all three and to our audience, do you think Valencia will make it to the playoffs?
Sure.
Playoffs for sure.
Yeah, I can say that I love how actually Julia compared Hapoel Tel Aviv and Valencia. And when she was speaking about both teams, she actually mentioned how Hapoel is more consistent, or they look like they can be more consistent in the second part of the season, especially, which is very important. But I'm not sure how Valencia can keep the, you know, the fast rhythm, the pace, and maybe to keep players very healthy and ready to play physically very strong second part of the season. I hope that they can stay like this also, because I love watching them. It's beautiful to watch a different style of basketball, comparing to the one that we have here, maybe in Balkan, you know. And I really enjoy watching them, but I'm not sure how they're going to be able to keep the momentum, to keep the pace. Yes, we saw Paris last year, and maybe the important part of coaching team as Valencia is the assistant coach that used to work in Paris last season as well. Yes. So maybe coach Pedro Martinez has something that we don't know about yet, you know, but with Hapoel is totally different thing, since we mentioned the roster, very, very good players, great coach, very, very experienced coach in EuroLeague. So, you know, they're different, but they're there now. They're at the top of the league. And I think nobody could predict that. Do you remember our bold predictions from the first episode, maybe this season? Nobody mentioned Valencia and Hapoel Tel Aviv, if I'm not wrong.
At all.
Yeah.
At all. Well, I kind of expected Hapoel to play like this because, well, Elijah Bryant, you know, I mean, Vasilije Micić, Itoudis being the coach, and all these amazing guys in the roster. I mean, I think the same for Valencia, but they did the big, huge signs in the summertime. So that's why I was, you know, okay, but Hapoel will be on the top, I think, 4 or 5. So it doesn't surprise me at all. What do you think, Vasiliki?
Well, yeah, what you said all is true. Very different approaches, and that's what makes EuroLeague so unique, that you can have a very different approach and also have great results. Like Hapoel invested pretty much on experienced players, a very decorated coach that has won many EuroLeague trophies as an assistant and as a head coach. So they sort of guaranteed their success early on. But what Valencia is doing is very surprising, because they have young players, driven players, hungry players that need to prove themselves, that need to earn their next big contract, the next big spot in the league. And what is making them so dangerous is how they keep the team very fresh. No player is averaging more than 23 minutes per game. And that's the key to success. Cameron Taylor plays a little less than 23 minutes per game, but the rest of them, 20 or less. And also, they are top 5 in the defensive rating, a top 10 in the offensive rating. They're a very dangerous, high-paced team, very modern style of basketball. Congratulations to Pedro Martinez and his staff. Yeah, I think they're doing an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say one thing, if I can, because Alex mentioned the staff from Pedro Martinez, and I want to mention another one, because if I remember well, some of the members of the staff of Pedro Martinez comes from the younger, you know, from the Alqueria, as I was saying before. So that's another, you know, 10 points to Valencia, because the staff and Pedro Martinez really know the young stars of Valencia team, and they're all born and raised in Valencia, born and raised in Spain. So that's another point that I wanted to put you on, because, you know, there are so many coaches and managers coming from Spain, and they're doing so good, not only in the basketball world. You know, I live in Italy, and Italy is a pretty footy nation. So, you know, Cesc Fabregas is doing so good in Como, in the Italian Maximum Championship, in Serie A, in football. And he took the team from the second league, and right now is hoping to take the team to Champions League. And it's something that I think that never happened in Italy. Or, you know, in Premier League, Unai Emery is doing so good with Aston Villa. And Aston Villa is third in the standing in Premier League. So it's something amazing. And I think that we got to mention even Pep Guardiola, and the thing that he did with Barcelona before as a player, then obviously as a coach with Bayern Munich too, and obviously with Manchester City, what he's doing. So I think that, you know, there's a different mentality probably with the Spanish coaching. They are so solid. And the thing that I want to know is if you agree. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. Yeah.
I totally agree. And it comes to my mind this question. Girls, let's say you have to pick one Premier League coach all time and then make him coach of one EuroLeague team. Who would you pick?
I would say Antonio Conte.
Okay.
I will go with Jose Mourinho.
Okay.
Okay.
I think he can replace Adaman. They will both be making huge statements.
Vasiliki, yeah. you and me, we will let our audience write for us, okay?
Okay. I had something in mind, but
what?
Okay.
What?
I think Pep Guardiola. During his days in Barcelona, they played really fast, like how they call it, tiki-taka basketball. So that would be either the passing game of Olympiacos or the high-paced game from Paris last season.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Maybe Denise, we could talk like, you know, do you remember Claudio Ranieri, what he did with Leicester a few days,
yeah.
A few years ago.
Miracle.
Yes, it was a miracle. Maybe, I don't know, we could compare Claudio Ranieri to something that happened in the EuroLeague. Maybe with Paris last year, it wasn't something like a miracle, but it was something so
more like Lokomotiv with Gorgiokas. Nobody expected them to be in the Final Four.
Or Luka Banky with FS making the playoffs last year.
Yeah, totally.
Shout out to Luka Banky. And but I love the Spanish coaches all around the world, especially Pablo Laso now in my country with coaching FS, or Xavi Pascual coaching Barcelona, doing great things with Barcelona, like always. But coaching. One of our favorite coach, Šarūnas Jasikevičius and Fenerbahce. And the new signings. We welcomed our former player, one of our legends, Nando De Colo, back home again from Asvel, from France. And then obviously Chris Silva. Girls, I'm really happy. I so have the chemistry in the club right now. The guys are very happy. They're playing with a higher pace of the season. And at the same time, the defensive end is very strong. The big guys know their role better than ever. And of course, they listen to their coach and THT, Talen Horton-Tucker, doing great things. And all this, recently, Brandon Boston Jr. Showed that he is a Fenerbahce player. But what do you girls think?
Well, I've never expected Nando De Colo to come back to Fenerbahce in particular because, you know, he's a French guy. He played for a French team like Asvelis, and he could be, you know, like the leader in a team like Asvel, teaching all the other guys how to deal in the EuroLeague. So I've never expected that. And if I can remember well, it should be his last year playing in the league. So why coming back to Fener? I don't know. Maybe you girls know better than me.
Yeah, to possibly win a championship? I don't know. Like, I think Fener pulled another Eric McCollum trick with Nando De Colo, very experienced guy who doesn't need like 30 minutes to shine. He can be very productive. He knows how to score. He knows how to assist. He can be a veteran figure in the locker rooms, like someone the other players can look up to. So I think it's a great fit.
I asked the same question to Jasikevičius. While I was doing the pregame or postgame interview, I said, okay, the last year on 2025, around this time, you signed Eric McCollum, and we saw how impactful player he was for the Final Four, for the playoffs, and how he helped the team. And now you're signing the former player and the legend, Nando De Colo, and you're signing him and welcoming him back home. And Is this your trick? Is this the tactic that you use around the midseason? And he was like, yes, of course, he's a great player and all of that. But I agree with you, Vasiliki. I think they pulled the tactic of the last season for what they've done with Eric McCollum, and they're doing with Nando De Colo. And what do you think about Chris Silva, Alex?
Well, I think it's always tricky to have any new signings during the season, you know, because other teams, other players, other coaches can always be like, okay, how they're going to look like now, you know, or to investigate like what the new player is going to do in the new team. So I cannot wait to see all new signings playing and showing up for their teams, especially in the second part of the season, since we are getting closer to the playoffs and to those kind of predictions. And since we speak about veterans in the league, about Nando De Colo already, I would love to mention also Tony Jekiri. How do you girls feel about, you know, having veterans inside the roster in middle of the season? It's kind of a tricky, and fans, to be honest, are kind of suspicious about how he's going to fit in with a new coach, with a new team in this part of his career, but I want to hear you.
I think that's great to have a experience in the locker room, additional guy who knows the game, who knows the league, and who can help with his experiences and who can bring his experiences to the locker room with his talent, with his performance. And Tony played in my country in for Fenerbahce. So I know he's a great guy. So congratulations and good luck for his career. This sign is a huge sign. I mean, that's what I think.
Well, there's not just the veterans, but there are so many important signing as young stars. Like, you know, Virtus Bologna got probably one of the hottest young star that we have in Italy. One of probably the most important talent that we have, Francesco Ferrari. And we are so waiting, we as journalists, as media, we are waiting him to you know, have his debut in EuroLeague and in the Italian Maximum Championship. And me, as Julia, I'm so happy to see back Neno Dimitrijević in the maximum competition with Bayern. So I want to know your opinion about that.
Ferrari is definitely a player to watch, a young star. But do you think that he's going to have a big role, heavy minutes?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not this year. This year, because you all were mentioning it before. It's just, you know, the January, so it's mid-season, and he just have to adapt. He never played neither in the Maximum Italian Championship. He comes from the second league. So I think that the first thing that he has to do is to understand how to deal even with physicality of the Maximum Championship. And then he has to be physically and mentally ready. He's so thin, and he has to put up some muscle on, because you're going to need it. He's going to need it in EuroLeague. And I think that probably we will see him 100% next year, probably, obviously, with Virtus Bologna.
I'm happy about Neno Dimitrijević too. I just want to add that. And I love how EuroLeague encouraged young players to, you know, to show up, but also to encourage veterans to show up again on the highest possible level. And since we mentioned players, we also spoke about coaches before, not only the experienced one, but also the young coaches. So it's a kind of a mix that I really love about EuroLeague.
Before we move to talk to the next topic, MVP topic, but I want to also congratulate and say that this sign of Olympiakos, Tyrique Jones, is great. Great. It's one of the smartest signs of the season. Congratulations. And I cannot wait to watch more and more him wearing the white, red and white jersey. And let's speak about our MVP predictions.
Wow. Too many names are in the mix right now.
Too many, many names. Who deserves the award? I mean, Wade Baldwin, Sasha Vezenko, Kendrick Nunn, Mike James, Milutino, Moneke, Petrushev. Who?
Do you feel like we have like more names than ever before
Probably, yes, because the standings are very unpredictable. There's not a team that it's 3, 4, 5 wins separate and it's at the top of the standing. And you say the best player from that team will probably be the MVP of the season. There's too many great teams and too many great players that putting up the numbers week after week. So it's very unpredictable. And it's only half of the season. The second part of the regular season just started now. So we don't have all the facts yet.
Yeah. I agree. But I'm going to disappoint you again, but my bold prediction about the MVP talk is going to be the same. I'm going to stick to Sasha Vezenko. So, yeah.
That's not bold. That's very safe.
So I'm going to say the bold one.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So I'm going to say Milan to the Final Four with Armoni Brooks MVP. MVP of the, obviously, of the year.
Those are two bold predictions, not the one.
Yes.
If I say that Armoni Brooks were going to be the MVP, I just have to, you know, say why he's going to be the MVP. So, yes, you know, I told you 2026 is my year, so I have to be that bold. I have to hope. Come on. For the Italian basketball.
Of course. I'm totally for that. Yeah.
I have two or three. Nunn, Vezenko, Elijah Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's not forget how Elijah Bryan plays. And I want to ask to our people, guys, who's going to be the MVP of EuroLeague 2025-2026? Please comment your predictions.
Denise, what about Wade Baldwin? I think he's more mature than ever.
He is more mature.
Whenever he doesn't get an MVP award, he gets really sad and really upset. I got that from a recent conversation we had.
I understand what you mean.
Okay.
By the way, do you watch Olivia's podcast of EuroLeague and Friends? I love it.
Yes,
I love the MVP talk.
She gets the MVPs.
She gets the MVPs and she creates great questions. She talks in the best way with the MVP, with our guys. So she's great. And if you missed the last episode, please go and check on our YouTube, EuroLeague and Friends with Olivia, the MVP talks. And let's say, what if legends would play today, like Manu Ginobili, let's say, in EuroLeague? Would he dominate or what if?
Do you think it's like a kind of a discussion or do we all have the same opinion?
All have the same opinion.
Yeah, I think that too. I think that he would definitely dominate. And I would love to see not only Manu Ginobili, but also other legends playing now, you know. But when you mentioned Manu, I have a lot of trauma out there in my head since I'm always thinking about him playing for the national team against not Serbia then, but Yugoslavia. So, yeah, a lot of important moments of my childhood actually was connected to those games against Yugoslavia and Argentina.
Julia?
Well, we were lucky enough. We, as Italians, were lucky enough to see him playing before in Reggio Calabria and then with Virtus Bologna. And we were young, actually. I was young, but I got the chance to see how it was magical into the court. And, you know, growing up, everyone could see his magic. And I think that, yes, he will dominate if we put Manu Ginobili in 2026 games. So unfortunately it won't happen, but it would be so fun to see him. And as Alex said, I would like to see so many legends again playing in today's days.
Vasiliki Karamuza, what do you think?
I agree with the girls. He was such a high basketball IQ player. Yeah. He would fit greatly in this pace and space rhythm of EuroLeague right now. He had versatility. He could score. He could really help in the defensive. Effort of the team, not especially in the one-on-one, but when we're talking about team defense, he would be great. And he was a superstar without being a superstar in the NBA. So definitely here he would be a megastar.
Well, are there any other names that would you love to see today?
That's what I was about to ask you. And
we have other episodes to talk about them. Don't spoil the fun.
But let's say, to our fans, to their teams, which legend they would want to see in their teams today on 2026?
That is the right question. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We will keep the legends topics for the next episode, but let's talk about I Was There campaign. What a campaign. I love seeing it and I'm always like stalking I Was There campaign. I was there, the hashtags and all of that. I have so many videos and I will share my video with you guys because this campaign helps you win a ticket for the final for 2026. Isn't it great, girls?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Totally. I know these tickets are going to be very shut out for.
Yeah. And it's the best thing for the audience. For me, for example, I want to be in, let's say, Milano or in Belgrade or in Piraeus. And I can see with what they post, you know, on social media. And this is how I feel the energy, the culture, the reason why we love EuroLeague, with that atmosphere that people, our friends, our family is sharing with us on social media. So this campaign helps us a lot. I was there. Hashtag I was there campaign. Do you have any videos, girls?
Of course. We do.
Yeah, we all do.
Plenty of them.
Okay, from where?
We all do.
Can you show us? Can we share with our fans, audience?
I can share the one. I think it was 2 years ago, one of the derbies. I think the first EuroLeague derby that season, 2024 in November. And Zvezda was the host team. And it's always a kind of a battle between the group of fans because they're like I don't know, 100 or 200 fans of Partizan and the whole full arena of Red Star fans. So it's always a kind of a battle who is going to be louder. I think it was obvious, but the thing was that Partizan won that game. And at the end of the game, like people are, you know, going home and everything, and there are 200 black and white fans there at the top of the arena singing and celebrating with the team. And that's, I think, the most difficult part of the other group of fans. So it was interesting for me because I know we all love to cover the game as we do, you know, to speak with coaches, to get interviews, pre-game or post-game interviews, to be on the court mostly. But that was the game that I was spending with my family, actually, at the almost roof of the arena, the top of the arena. And I was there after a very long time, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a few videos and I'm going to save it for me, like to remind myself that maybe that was the feeling that I sometimes miss. And yeah, so when I want to recommend the game, they like to my abroad friends or to my Serbian friends who lives abroad, when I want to recommend a game for them to go when they're in Serbia, that would be that kind of the game. And those are the videos that I'm sending them.
I agree. Wow, nice. Now I want to be in Belgrade. But what are you? Well, Vasiliki, and you?
Well, I was scrolling through my phone and I realized I have so many videos from all these years, even though sometimes work get crazy and you don't have the time even to take a video that's 20 seconds because you need to do something else while you're working. I think my favorite one is from the Final Four in Berlin 2 years ago. After the title game, I caught Giannis Antetokounmpo going to Ergin Ataman and say, "You're a great coach. I want to play for coaches like you someday." And it went super viral on my Twitter account back then. So I think...
Vasiliki, you're that girl.
I am that girl. I took that video.
Wow. And you won the Final Four ticket the next year.
Now, I have an accreditation, so I don't need a ticket. So I'm not competing for that.
Well, you can give the ticket to me. Thank you.
Julia, what about you?
Well, the thing is that I've only worked in Italy. So as you know, and I'm sorry for my Italian friends, the atmosphere that you girls are experiencing in Turkey, Belgrade and Athens are totally different from the one that I'm experiencing here. Even if I'm thinking that in Virtus Arena right now and even in Paradozza before, the derbies against Olympia Milan are one of the highest in terms of up volume that I've ever experienced. But one of my favorite videos ever that I've ever taken is obviously in Belgrade. It wasn't that kind of, you know, super amazing game because I think it was Partizan against Alba Berlin. So you all can say it. It wasn't like, you know, the most amazing game ever, but I got goosebumps while the fans of Partizan were singing their anthem. And I almost cried because it was something... Why are you laughing? It's not so... I know, I'm super sensitive. I get emotional with those things. And yes, I cry every time. But that day was something amazing. You know, I really felt the love that people have for a team, or the love that it's something more than just cheering up for a team. It is love. This team, this thing, it's my family. It's who I am. And that was great. That's why I cried.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And I think that it's not just a matter of being a Partizan fan. That's what I want to say.
It's something you need to admire.
It is. Yes. It is really. And I can also add that that's very special moment and the beginning of every Partizan's game. And like the whole team, the broadcasting staff, they all know what they need to do to record it in a proper way, you know. And since my whole family is are Red Star fans, actually, and I can quote my dad. And when we look those kind of games, you know, and when we listen to the Partizan anthem, he always like, damn, how they do that, you know? Like, they're so good in that. Why don't we have any kind of that special moment at the beginning of the game, you know? But that's a kind of a tradition that we really love and we really admire.
So, but to all of our fans who wants to do and join our campaign, I was their campaign. So here are the steps. Go to your camera roll. Pick any EuroLeague moment, any arena, any game, whatever you want to pick. Scan the QR code, or to all of our audio listeners, go to iwasthere.euroleague.net. But let's go to our bold predictions.
Julie already said hers.
Yeah. Do you have another one, maybe?
Well, I said, if I have to dream high, Olympia will enter the Final Four and, you know, Armoni Brooks MVP. But if I have to, you know, stay a little bit lower, I would say Apoel going for the title and Elijah Bryan being their MVP.
Wow.
It's your turn now. Come on.
Okay.
We're thinking about yours.
I wanted to say Apoel to the Final Four, but now you said they're going to win the title, so it's not as bold.
Yeah.
You're ruining my bold prediction.
It's your own. So why getting me to go first?
Okay, I have a bold prediction.
Okay, let's hear it.
Vasiliki, on the back of the wall, there's a guy with the jersey.
Oh, you're talking about Mike.
No.
Blue. You're talking about Evan?
Blue.
You're talking about Bogdan?
Bogdan.
Is coming back?
Coming back.
This season?
Ebba, you know, Fenerbahce is only signing players in December, so it's going to be for December.
Yeah, maybe. But he's coming back to EuroLeague.
I would love that.
Now.
Well, the year is long, so yeah, maybe.
And I have I was about to say
maybe Denise actually knows something that we don't know. So,
no, yeah, I really that's don't. Why. I swear to God, I don't know. This is my prediction, please.
Okay. My bold prediction, I was thinking a lot about it, and actually I explored a bit with my friends, you know, just to hear them and to see how they think about it. But I think my bold prediction is going to be not about what something is going to achieve or someone is going to achieve, but also about what is not going to happen, maybe.
Okay.
So I will go with this try. Real Madrid is not going to make it to the Final Four second year in a row.
Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We're so used to seeing them in the Final Four.
I know, yes. I know. And I know that Spanish fans are going to be mad at me probably when they're listening to this. But we said that we are going to make the bold predictions. So yeah, let's make it more interesting.
Please share with us your bold predictions. And girls, that's a wrap.
Well, that was a wrap.
Guys, please like, subscribe, follow us, turn on your notifications on the social media platform of EuroLeague, and be with us. Write your comments, write your predictions. We're waiting to hear from you because you matter. Every game matters, and I think we matter. Thank you, girls.
We do.
Thank you, girls.
Of course,
yeah,
we do.
Of course. Thank you, girls.
See you soon.
See you.
Ciao.